Good morning, and welcome in the name of Christ. We are excited that you have taken the time to join us for this morning's message. Today's lesson comes from Mark, chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. Today's lesson gives us the story of Jesus' baptism. And we read that immediately after his baptism by John in the River Jordan, Jesus was driven by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, where he was both tempted by Satan and ministered to by angels. Three of the four Gospels tell us of Jesus being in the wilderness for 40 days, with Matthew and Luke giving us a few more details than Mark does. Mark just reports that it happened. However, we do get this sense from Mark's Gospel that this was a very significant time in Jesus' life, and that it had a great effect on Jesus' spiritual formation. The focus of all three Gospels that talk about Jesus' wilderness experience suggests that the time he spent in seclusion was a very important time in Jesus' life that helped him to discern what was important and would shape his ministry to come. For instance, in the book of Matthew, when Satan offered Jesus the kingdoms of the world in exchange for his worship, Jesus told Satan to leave him alone. By quoting scripture, Jesus said, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only," which is a direct quote that comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. As Jesus makes clear to us, if we truly want to hear the voice of God, we need to find a quiet, deserted place. If you want to see a great example of this, look back in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, where we find the story of the prophet Elijah's encounter with God. Like Elijah, many of us are expecting to hear God's voice in all of the wrong places. That is why we need to find a place of solitude, away from the noise of a modern world, so that we might be able to hear God's voice when he speaks. When Elijah learns that Queen Jezebel wants to kill him, he flees to Horeb, the mountain of God, seeking to find God. And Elijah does find God. And God actually passes by him where he stands. And we read that as God passes by, a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. Verses 11 and 12. Solitude in a quiet place. No TV, no radio, no computer or cell phones. Just you in a quiet place, alone with your thoughts. But in the 24-hour news channel Facebook communication era that we live in today, how many of us can truly even experience true solitude? Take away a teenager's phone for an hour and they might think they are cut off from the world and experiencing solitude, but they really are not even getting close to true seclusion. The dictionary defines solitude as the quality or state of being alone or remote from society. To be in a state of seclusion. With all of the noise pollution and the communication devices we now have surrounding us 24/7, someone has to work very hard to find solitude in today's world. And most people don't go looking for solitude. In fact, solitude for a lot of people can be downright uncomfortable. And many people even try very hard to avoid it. However, finding a secluded place and removing all outside interference can really help us to focus on our prayers, our spiritual formation, and on being present with God. with God. This is the second Sunday of Lent, and as we begin this season of the Christian year, our thoughts naturally tend to lean toward spiritual things. It has been made very clear by psychologists and psychiatrists that taking breaks in our routines is not only a healthy practice, but a very necessary one. It has been proven time and time again that when the workday gets to be too long, production suffers and workers tend to make more mistakes. Breaks help us to reduce stress, refocuses our attention, and increases our levels of productivity and creativity. That is one of the reasons we have days off and vacations from work. We can also participate in retreats that are designed to focus our minds on certain topics or guide our thinking in a particular direction. And there are a lot of things we can benefit from by spending solitary time. For example, it is an accepted fact that solitude and seeking out a secluded location where you can be alone and uninterrupted by outside stimulus is a key to experiencing renewal. Especially in today's fast-paced culture, there are times when we must simply turn off the phone and the computer and unplug from the world, at least for a time, so that we might simply keep our sanity. You may have gotten some sense of this if you have ever gone on a church mission trip that required you to travel to a different state or country. Many people return from these kinds of experiences feeling refreshed and energized, with a new viewpoint, a deeper faith, and a heightened level of spirituality. The same thing can happen to people who attend a spiritual retreat like a Crisio or Walk to Emmaus weekend that many churches sponsor. Participants on these retreats are sequestered and cut off from the outside world, usually from Thursday evening to Sunday night. I have heard countless stories that come from people who come back from these events feeling spiritually renewed and re-energized. I believe it was no accident that following Jesus' retreat to the wilderness, where he spent time in seclusion, he began a ministry that changed the world. One thing that we can notice as we read in the Gospels about Jesus' ministry is that while he never took another 40-day retreat, he did take frequent breaks from ministry and from the crowds who followed him. While there are many examples where he took his disciples with him, and we read that they sought out a deserted place, there were also many times when he left everyone behind so that he could spend time in prayer alone. In the Gospels, there are several mentions of his praying in deserted places. Here are just a few that I found. Matthew and John both tell us that after teaching a crowd all day and then performing the miracle of feeding the 5,000, he dismissed the crowds and went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Matthew 14 and John chapter 6. Mark reports that Jesus had spent the day preaching and healing people. The next morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. Chapter 1, verse 35. Luke tells us that in preparation for choosing the 12 men who would become his disciples, he went out to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. Luke 6, verse 12. Luke also tells about a time when, after Jesus healed a man of his leprosy, word of Jesus' ability spread like wildfire, and crowds began to seek him out in order to receive healing also. In the face of such demands that were placed upon him, Luke records that Jesus frequently withdrew to deserted places to pray. Luke chapter 5. over and over again when we read through the Gospels the example Jesus gives to us concerning prayer is that it is best done in seclusion. We should not let this principle escape our notice. And there are several things we can learn from the examples that Jesus gives to us. First, we need to be intentional about finding a time and a place to pray and to listen. And this is an area where many Christians neglect due to our busyness and our willingness to unplug from our screens and other forms of media. Jesus' practice of finding a deserted place can encourage us to also identify our own deserted places. For many of us, that deserted place just might be a time when we are busy at something that allows our minds to be free. For example, I found one of those deserted places at my first appointment, driving to my first church to preach on a Sunday morning. My first church was about 30 miles from my home and took me about 40 minutes to drive. After the first few weeks, I learned to leave the radio off and to use that time to pray, to listen, and to think. So what used to be downtime or unproductive time now had become time well used. Not only did I start spending my windshield time praying and listening on the way to church, but I also started doing it on other days. The car had become my own deserted place where I could meet with God. Deserted places can also refer to places where we lack what others have. Last Sunday, we sang a very popular old hymn written by William Wolford in 1842, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Not a lot is known about Wolford other than he was an English clergyman. But one thing that we do know about him is that he was totally blind. Perhaps this hymn was shaped by his experience of living in a world where he was denied what most everyone else had, the ability to see the world around him. Deserted places might also refer to times during which we feel alone or abandoned due to feelings of discouragement and doubt. These are often deserted places of our own making. When we find ourselves in this kind of a desolate place, this is certainly a time to pray and to listen. These are times in our lives where we can often sense God moving closer to us. If we will but spend time in prayer, when we have these feelings, it can often help us to grow spiritually. Finally, we should remember that our souls and our spiritual health should be nurtured and cared for every bit as much as our physical bodies. Yet so many people in today's world seem to constantly fret and worry about eating organic or getting enough exercise while they totally neglect and ignore the spiritual dimension of their lives. Often, though, our spirit is revived and strengthened by finding one of those desolate places where it can grow and be developed. The example Jesus gives to us is that prayer can turn deserted places and times into productive moments when our spirits can be fed and nurtured. And as we work through those melancholy times in our lives by spending time in solitude, we will often find ourselves in a much better place for the experience. Remember that Lent calls us to a time of self-examination and reflection. I have heard it said that self-examination and self-evaluation is like taking a cold shower. It's unpleasant, but invigorating. But if we are willing to abide by the spirit of the Lenten season and spend time doing the work of self-examination, we are sure to experience a time of spiritual growth and renewal for our souls. This is the reason for us to find a deserted place, so that we can spend time with God. This is what the Lenten discipline is designed to do for us. Let us not miss out on this opportunity that we have been given to refresh our souls, so that we may be salt and light. Amen.